Good Sunday morning. This is the radio worship of the Third Presbyterian Church in the Enos Park neighborhood of Springfield, Illinois. Today's the last Sunday in March, the 28th, and it's Palm Sunday. This begins what we call Holy Week, our Passion Week in the church. And this will take us to next Sunday, which is Resurrection Sunday. Let us begin this morning with a prelude from Helen Ely, who, along with three others, just joined our church. This morning, as a call to worship, please listen to our a cappella singers as they do the song, Open Our Eyes, Lord.
Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch.
Please pray with me. Holy God, today begins the most holy of weeks in the life of the Christian church. And today we celebrate the return of Jesus to the crown city of Jerusalem. Open us up today, our eyes and our ears, to witness the presence of your Spirit in this worship, this day. Amen. John and Charles Wesley were brothers. John was best known for preaching and teaching and beginning the Methodist Church, and Charles was known for his musical abilities. They teamed up to do our first congregational song. John Wesley included these words in a publication in 1744 called Moral and Sacred Poems. 2 years later, Charles put it to a hymn format. Please join our TPC choir as they lead us in Rejoice, the Lord is King.
Rejoice, the Lord is King, your Lord and King adore. Rejoice, give thanks and sing and triumph evermore. Lift up your heart, lift up your voice, rejoice again.
Today we read the familiar story of Jesus' return to Jerusalem as Mark records it in chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples saying to them, Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you doing this, say, the Lord needs it, and will send it back here shortly. They went and found a colt outside the city, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, what are you doing untying the colt? They answered as Jesus had told them, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches that they had cut in the fields. They went on ahead, and those who followed shouted, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. May God bless the reading of this word this day. Amen. As this is Palm Sunday, there are many contemporary Christian songs that reflect this day. One such song was written by Paul Wilbur, who was raised in a home where his father was Jewish and his mother was Baptist. Eventually, during his college years, he became a Christian and applied his talents to writing and leading Christian worship songs. Because of his roots, his music style has been called messianic. Please join the TPC praise team in the song, King of Glory.
Lift up your gates, be lifted up, and let the King of Glory come. Lift up your heads, you ancient doors, lift up a shout unto the Lord. Lift up your gates, be lifted up, and let the King of Glory come. Lift up your heads, you ancient doors, lift up a shout unto the Lord. Oh, you are Lord of birth, you are Lord of life. Oh, King of Glory, come and fill this place today, today, oh, today. Lift our eyes to see your face. You are a all-consuming fire. Your presence is our one desire. Oh, you are Lord of earth. You are Lord of life. Oh, King of Glory, come and fill this place today, today. Today. today, today.
Will you pray with me? Lord, now let the words that come from my mouth and the meditation that falls on all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, and remind us today that you are our rock and our salvation. Amen. On March the 4th, 1966, pop music icon and member of the Beatles, John Lennon, set off a firestorm in America when he proclaimed that the Beatles were now more popular than Jesus. It is true, probably among teenage girls at the time, they were probably more popular. Now, I'm not discounting their talent. They created a great many songs. Their harmony was fantastic, and they were good at the instruments they played. But their rise to fame was primarily the result of an ingenious marketing plan. At the time, a guy by the name of Brian Epstein was the manager for the Beatles, and he was a marketing genius. To advertise the band, he created several staged events, getting off their bus into a crowd, performing on and then walking off a stage, and simply walking down the street. Epstein then hired crowds of people to be at these staged events, and they were given instructions on what to do. All were supposed to scream. Several of the girls were to fake passing out so ambulance teams could be called. Some were to act like they had just lost their minds, and others were told to hold up homemade signs. Epstein created fake events to generate what would eventually be called Beatlemania. When the Beatles arrived in America, crowds gathered and acted just like the stage crowds from Epstein because they had been caught up in Beatlemania. Palm Sunday recognizes an event in the life of Jesus that also involves crowds and screaming. And we're not sure that anyone faked passing out, but this whole event was not staged. It was for real. You might want to call it Jesus Mania. That would probably be correct. But it's not based on stage events with people doing fake things. No, this mania was caused because people experienced Jesus in person, and they soon came to realize that they were looking in the presence of God in the flesh. You might remember in the New Testament, there are many places where Jesus performs miracles or offers a great teaching, and he specifically tells the people not to go tell anyone. Exactly the opposite of what Brian Epstein would do. But Jesus, you see, is getting larger and larger crowds pushing and shoving to see him. He doesn't really need any more publicity. And yet the people don't listen to him. It's almost like the sign that says no dumping, which soon becomes the place where everyone throws out trash, despite the sign. Jesus told people not to tell, but they did so anyway. This story in the scripture begins with Jesus telling two disciples to go fetch a colt. A colt was a young male donkey less than 4 years in age. His plan is to enter Jerusalem riding this colt, not as a major hero, but as a simple servant. When the disciples return with the colt, they put some coats on the colt to form a makeshift saddle. And as Jesus enters the city, something amazing begins to happen. People began to lay down their coats in front of Jesus, and they started waving and laying down palm branches. We're also told that they began to shout at least one word, Hosanna. That word really can't be directly translated. It's like trying to find the word hooray. Some added more words, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Some have associated that word with the phrase, save us now. What Jesus had planned as a simple entrance as a servant became a mania event. It was not because the people were faking it. It was not because they were under contract to act like crazy. This was for real. They were celebrating the Messiah, the anointed one, the Savior of the world, God in flesh, who was now coming into their town. And probably in the crowd, there were those who thought Jesus might be returning to the crown city to end the unfair rule of Jewish leadership. The inner circle of the temple had been corrupted, and the religious leaders' desire was to cheat people out of their money so they could live a rich lifestyle. Others perhaps thought Jesus would destroy the Roman rule over the Jewish people. Jesus would cause people like Pilate to be struck down dead on the spot. Then Jesus would, of course, take over the temple. Others may have thought that Jesus would grab all the Jewish people and take them right straight up into heaven. But the plan Jesus had in mind was to come into the city as a servant and preach and teach that the greatest in the kingdom would have to be the one who became the least. You see, the fact that Jesus is riding a colt would be a sign of his humility. If he wanted to be the conquering hero, he would have ridden in on a horse, just as the Romans leaders did after a successful conquest of yet another land. But the people didn't get it. They were caught up in the mania of the moment, and even though they did not get the servant thing, the fact that Jesus was who he was for real, that meant that they were also experiencing the presence of God with them. And God would be at work in their lives, even if they didn't get it exactly in that moment. That's an important message for us today. Sometimes we want Jesus mania in our lives. We want everything to be an exciting, energetic, enthusiastic parade. I remember in working with young people at church camp or on mission trips, when you got the young people out of their daily environment and you put them in a setting around other brothers and sisters in Christ, or you had them meeting people telling touching stories or dynamic classes, they got caught up in the mania of it all. And unfortunately, what you had to do sometimes was remind them when the week was over, they were going to go back to life at home. We used to call these mountaintop experiences, and we had to give them a dose of reality that life was not always on the mountaintop. In fact, most of the time, it was in the valleys. However, one thing was certain. One thing was constant. Even when life was not a mountaintop experience, Jesus was always present in our lives. The people were in mania over Jesus. They got it wrong, but perhaps in a way they did not. Because, in fact, Jesus was with them. Jesus was in their lives, and Jesus was at work in their lives work in our lives when we have mountaintop experiences and when we're stuck in the depth of the valleys. God is at work even when we're not aware of God's presence. Perhaps one of the reasons for this mania of the people on this first Palm Sunday was not only because Jesus was in their midst, but because they could see him in the flesh. According to God's plan, Jesus left us for a while, and even though he's always present in the spirit, we know some people in the world are looking for him in person. They want to embrace again this Jesus mania of Palm Sunday with a personal appearance of Jesus. Well, that's where we come in. We are called to be the physical presence of Jesus in the world today. Let me give you this example. One of the most violent prisons in all of South Africa began being visited by a regular Christian woman by the name of Joanna. She felt called to that ministry, and over time, her presence created a calming effect on the rough and tough gangs in the prison, and she continued to share the message of salvation to those who were in confinement. It became so apparent of her good work at the prison that she was twice featured on documentary specials. Asked one time why she made such an impact on that facility, she said this: "You have to understand that God has always been present in this prison. All I did was make him visible." That's our calling. That's our job. We are the instruments of the risen Lord to make Christ visible in the world today. Our responsibility is to work in places in our lives to share the reality of the living God and the resurrected Christ. This is not a mania-based fabrication. This is reality. And when we do that, we recreate the excitement and enthusiasm of a Palm Sunday all over again. John Lennon may have been right in that moment. The Beatles were on top. But you see, in secular things, others come along. For example, Queen came along, and so did hundreds of other groups, including a rapper by the name of Drake in 2018 that sold more singles in 1 year than all the years of the Beatles' singles combined. But Jesus is for real. Jesus is eternal. Jesus is the King of the world of eternity past and eternity future. There will never be one greater than Jesus. If the world is going to get caught up in a mania, then certainly they should embrace the mania of Jesus. And we are just like the people in Jerusalem. We need to tell the world about Jesus. We must celebrate his presence in our lives when we sit on the mountaintop and when we're stuck in the valley. We must make Jesus by our words and our actions visible to the world today. So as we begin this holiest of weeks in the life of the church, as we move closer to the day of resurrection, may we reflect on the thrill of this day that the people experienced when they saw Jesus come in to the city. And may we be who we are and what we do make Jesus today visible in the world. That's our hope and our prayer. Amen and amen. Last Sunday during our worship service, we were blessed with the very moving song, Alabaster Box. For those in our radio audience, we wanted to share this song led by Karee Prince from our praise team.
Dry them with my hair. cost of the oil.
Thank you for listening to our radio worship, the radio worship of the Third Presbyterian Church on Sports Radio 1450 AM and 92.3 FM. We broadcast each Sunday at 9 o'clock in the morning. Please check out our Facebook page where I've posted a special video explaining what Lent and Holy Week is all about. Also, this week we have special services on Thursday, called a Maundy Thursday service, where we'll celebrate communion. That's at 6 o'clock in the evening. And then on Friday, we'll have a Good Friday service. It's called a Tenebrae service, and that will take place also at 6 in the evening. Then next Sunday, for both our radio and our 10 o'clock in-person worship, we will be celebrating Resurrection Sunday. And in worship service, I'll be preaching on the theme, Accomplishment. Please now join me in prayer. Help us, Lord, to be your hands, your feet, and your voice to the world around us. Help us by what we say and what we do to bring the visible presence of the risen Lord to those we are with in our lives. Lord, as we enter this last week of Lent, as we celebrate on this day your entry back into Jerusalem, may we find excitement and celebration in knowing you are our Lord and Savior. This we ask in your name. Amen. Please join us with enthusiasm as we go out into the world with this song called Trees of the Field. This song is sung 3 times and it gets louder and faster each time. Please join our praise team as they lead us in Trees of the Field.
You shall go out with joy and be led forth. Mountains and the hills will break forth before you. There'll be shouts of joy, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. And all the trees of the fields will clap their hands. The trees of the fields will clap their hands. Trees of the fields will clap their hands while you go out with joy. You shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth before you. There'll be shouts of joy, and all the trees of the fields will clap.
So it begins as we walk through this week from palms to passion. And may God, who blesses and keeps you in love, whose face shines upon you with grace from above, who looks upon you with such joy and such favor, this God, 3-in-1, give you peace for your life to savor. Amen. Thank you for joining us today, and please extend with me a thanks to Helen Ely on our organ, Jeff Prince, our music director, and the TPC Praise Team, TPC Choir, and TPC a cappella singers, to Scott Humphreys, our production manager, and to our AV team of Seth Hood, Braden Prince, Taquan Stamps, and Faith Prince. And do not forget our magical post-production editor, Matt Miller. I'm the Reverend Dr. John Shear, the pastor at TPC. We will see you again soon. And remember, please, please, stay safe out there.